Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss the ways search engine optimization can increase the organic growth of the websites you create. Search engine optimization, or SEO, is becoming an important, if not essential, feature of marketing and growth for online companies. Online customers often enter specific phrases and words into their preferred search engine in an attempt to find information, products, and sellers. These shoppers seldom scroll past the first page of results that pop up. The important question is this: how can you appear on that first page of results? If you can accomplish this, you can drastically increase your ability to find and connect with new customers. And the good news is that SEO can be completely free. All you need to do is employ the best practices, and the only cost it places on you is your time. On today's episode, you'll hear the goal of SEO. The toughest challenge your store will face is generating traffic. When your store owners ask for ways to increase store traffic, SEO is a great suggestion for how to do that. Next, we'll discuss some practical ways to improve the SEO of your web pages. There are many steps you can take, like including common search terms on your product pages, making your website mobile-friendly, and directly asking Google to index your pages. Then we'll go over the role backlinks play in SEO. By including links to other websites that mention you or similar products, you'll increase the likelihood of Google referencing shoppers to your pages. And finally, we'll discuss some apps and tools that are available to help. Resources like Google Search Console and Pathfinder SEO provide targeted resources specifically designed to direct traffic to your site. If you're looking for ways to boost organic traffic to your website, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. All right, Chris, welcome back to the show. It's good to see you again.
Great to see you, Ryan.
We're talking about search engine optimization today, which is a really big topic. And I kind of thought we would start by just looking at what's the priority, what's the goal of search engine optimization.
Well, like with anything, if you're building a store for someone else, they want that store for a reason, right? They want to generate revenue. And one of the toughest challenges for them is to bring traffic to the store. So you, as a store builder, you're not involved in traffic, or you're not often involved in traffic. You're involved in building the store, getting it all set up. But invariably, that puts you in the first position or the prime role where someone's going to ask you about SEO. And so having an understanding of how to get Google to recognize the store, how to get Google to bring traffic to the store becomes critical for you, right? So store builders, they don't need to be SEO experts, and they need to have a whole slew of SEO folks that they can recommend when customers want to go deeper. But having a baseline understanding of how to think about and what to do with, how to help the SEO of an online store to make sure that Google brings in traffic is still pretty critical to the job.
Okay. So with the goal of this, this is the idea that if your website is search engine optimized, you will pop up on that first page of Google results, right?
Yeah, and it may be that, you know, maybe you get first page results. More than likely what happens when you first start is that you're not on page one or page 10, right? You're on page 73. And the real trick is, how do you move forward, right? Google doesn't index websites per se, right? Google indexes web pages. And so you can, you know, really optimize a single product page for people who have specific needs, and they can come to your product page before they even get to your homepage, right? And then you can start working at indexing other pages, and then eventually get to the place where, you know, you're the default player for whatever set of search terms you're going for. But it's critical to understand, right? You don't just create a website and then Google goes, oh, I know about it. There's a whole process of making sure that, and Google has tools, right? that let you go look at coverage, right? How much of your website does Google know about? How many different pages have been indexed? It's all about getting your sitemap created. And then really, are you doing the research? And even as a store builder who's working with a store owner, mm-hmm. who's providing that store owner with the research that says you may want to name this product this way instead of that way, right?
Right.
I think a few weeks ago we talked about that sleeping bag that was the double XL sleeping bag that had incredible video and all that. But the thing that I commented on at the moment, right, was when you go to search for a extra large sleeping bag on Amazon, you could see the title of this product, right? And the title was like, great for couples and outdoor and this. And like, it was just a really big title. And you go, okay, someone's doing that on purpose, right? Someone's choosing their titling on purpose. And oftentimes as a store builder, we build the basics, right? Here's your store. And then we hand it off and we don't do anything else. And then if the store owner created a title that didn't make sense or was too generic, we don't ever get involved, right? So that's where adding a little value is powerful, because you can come back to that store owner and say, hey, here's where you'd go do the research, right? Here's where you find what longer phrases people are searching for in Google Search Console, right? And here's where you can see that if we adjust the naming of this product, or if we adjust this page on our website, we can get better traffic.
Okay. In your experience, is this something that store owners are starting to ask for from store designers, or is this something you just bring to add value?
I think what you find is that store owners ask the question differently. They ask the question as in, how do I get more traffic to my store? And they don't realize, okay, part of that question is a question about SEO.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so as a store builder, our job is to be able to articulate, hey, listen, if Google doesn't know that your pages are there, or if Google has excluded the pages, or if Google finds errors on the pages, or if Google determines for any reason that they're not valid, they're not going to get indexed and they'll never show up in search results. And then the customer's like, well, I don't want that. I want it all to be like, I want all of them to be valid, and I want all my pages indexed. And so then they start walking through, okay, they want everything, right? And you go, okay, well, let's talk about that.
Okay, cool. Well, let's dive in here. How would you do that? How do you make how do you optimize these web pages then?
So the first thing to note is Google is your friend, right? And so a lot of times, what you have to start with is saying, okay, I have to, after we've built and designed everything else, right? Is it mobile friendly? Have we fixed all the errors? Have we asked Google to index the pages, right? Are they crawlable via the sitemap we gave? Did we give our sitemap to Google, right? So there's all this stuff that you can do with Google, so that Google says, yes, I'm aware of your site, right? So that's where you go to Google Search Console, right? Which means you have to go and make sure that you're connected to Google Analytics, make sure you're connected to Google Search Console, and store builders can do that for you, right? They can go in and say, okay, assuming that they give you the ability to do that, you go and you get things registered, you get it configured. And once you get it configured, Google Search Console will show you, here's the sitemap we have of your site. Here's the coverage we have of your site. Mm-hmm. Here's the mobile usability we have of your site. And so you go, okay, let me look through this and see if there are any problems, right? If you go to coverage and you're like, there are 128 pages with errors, you have a problem, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not your fault, right? As a builder, but the customer uploaded a plugin and something went sideways, and you go, okay, we got to dig into this and make sure it's right. Mm-hmm. But assuming you get that right, then it's about saying, okay, let's go through and figure out how to make sure that everything that we want to have happen for this store, right, is right. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we skip the simple stuff, right? So let's say that you're building a store around headphones. This is one of the ones we talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. And you have you're selling one or two custom headphones. You don't have a huge set of SKUs. You say one or two. And so you put, oh, this is my noise canceling headphone. Mm-hmm. You never thought of asking the question, or you never thought about writing the post or the page that was, what is noise canceling, or why choose noise canceling headphones, right? We, mm-hmm. when, as a store owner, we think to, I want to sell, right? And we forget that there are people that have questions before they buy. And so then we may have to have pages before we get to the product page. And Search Console can help you with that by looking up those phrases, right? You can go in and say, okay, I want to do, it's you know, keyword research, right? And you go, okay, let's go in and find out what are the phrases, the longer phrases that I need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And the more we do that, the more we realize, oh, here's some phrases that we want to use. I mean, I've shown store owners simply by going into Google itself, right? Just go to Google and start typing, right? Noise canceling headphones. And it automatically drops the predictive text, right? Like, did you mean this? Did you mean this? Did you mean this? Look at all, those are all shaped by, you know, what people are looking for. Then after you type in noise canceling headphones, you hit enter, you get results. And your new store won't be there. That's okay. But if you scroll to the bottom of the page, what do we see? We see more phrases, right? This is a phrase and this is a phrase. So Google's trying to tell you, hey, because Google's objective when it comes to search results is to help the people who are asking the questions or the people who are looking for data. They're trying to help them find it. So when you look at that and you realize, oh, people are asking about active versus passive noise canceling, right? And you go, ooh, I should probably create a page for that so that I can get that indexed and I can answer that question, right? And so a lot of times what happens is you realize, as a store builder, my job is not to create the content, but I may be very helpful in highlighting what content needs to be created.
Okay. So you're then going to create pages or descriptions on your website that's going to match those search terms, right?
Right. And you're going to look at your product page too, right? And say, am I using the phrases that people are talking about, mm-hmm. right? Let's say we were building or we were selling tables, right? Just custom, you know, tables, set of wood tables that we have. Mm-hmm. You may just talk about it as a table, right? But someone else might be talking about a picnic bench, right? Mm-hmm. And they're using specifically the picnic bench to mean the bench that goes at the table on one side of it that, you know, spans multiple seats rather than three different chairs.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at, you know, dining tables or outdoor tables or wood tables, whatever, and you see picnic bench, you go, okay, I need to highlight or bring a report or bring a spreadsheet of phrases that I'm going to put in front of my store owner to say, hey, these are phrases that are related to this. You may want to use these in your product pages, right? Sure. Especially particularly if it's true and you just said bench, mm-hmm. right? You said bench, you didn't say picnic bench. And if that's a phrase, that's worth adjusting your content for, right? So a lot of times it's not just, hey, I want to create some pages. It's, I want to create some pages. I want to make sure that I'm reflecting the things that people are asking so that I can give it back to them. And then in my product pages, I want to make sure I'm using the phraseology of my audience.
Okay. Interesting. And just to clarify, we're going to be doing this on specific pages. You can't do this for an entire website, right? You have to focus on specific pages.
You can do it for the whole site. What you're really doing though is doing it on every page of the site, right? I mean, like, it's just the thing to understand, right? Is that Google looks at it on a per page basis, right? It doesn't just say, "Ooh, all the pages on this website count for this or that," right? So you're going to want to optimize every page. And at least you want to optimize the important pages, right? The main pages for the main topics that you're covering, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, again, when you go back into console, you can see which of your pages are performing well, right? Mm-hmm. Double down on that. Because if you can take three or four pages and move them up so that they are showing up on the first page for different search results, that's fantastic, right? Then double down there, worry less about all the other pages. start by getting there, because you'll discover, okay, now I'm starting to generate revenue from right. those well-placed pages, and then I can slowly add other pages to it.
Right. This is a big idea, because we've talked about this on previous episodes, is that people aren't necessarily going through your website in order. You know, they're not necessarily starting on your homepage, and then you got to know where they're coming into your website from, what page they're starting on.
Yeah. And yeah. we all design the store thinking they land on the homepage, and then yeah. they navigate the way we want them to. Right. Mm-hmm. And when you go look at Search Console and you know, and there's a whole bunch of other tools, but you pull it together, and what you're looking for is saying, okay, show me the page, show me how many clicks I'm getting, show me how many impressions I'm getting, show me, you know, what position I'm in, right? Google will give you this data so that you can look at it and go, wow, they're not showing up at the page I thought they were, right? They're showing up at why active noise canceling is better than passive noise canceling, or why passive noise canceling is better than active noise canceling. They're looking at that page, and from there, navigating into my site, which means if they're there and that's an expression of an intent to purchase, what do I take them next to from right there? What's the right. one thing I want them to do next?
Okay.
And then optimize for that, right?
Okay. So the text that we're optimizing on these websites could be the title of the product, the product descriptions, anything else?
What we call is the keywords, right? The focus keywords. Uh-huh. And here's the thing, right? Let's say you're using on WooCommerce, which sits on top of WordPress, you're using Yoast, and Yoast has an e-commerce extension as well. And that's all fantastic. And you've put in what you thought was the keyword phrase, right? Noise canceling headphones. And you discover that by going back to the Search Console, by looking at, you know, tools and looking at Google, you discover it's actually the stronger phrase is over the ear NC headphones, right? Over the ear, mm-hmm. the noise canceling comes as NC, and then headphones, right? If you make the adjustment, right, to your product page, to your keyword on that page, you will see a slow change, right? Nothing happens like one day to the next, right? But you will see a change as you get more in line with how the world's talking about it. Or maybe you did the exact opposite. Maybe you called it over-the-ear NC headphones, and the rest of the world skipped the over-the-ear and just focused on noise-canceling and headphones. And you went, okay, I got to adjust my keyword. And a lot of times that's what it is going back and going, how do I focus better keywords in here, and not just the main keyword, right? There, obviously, there's the notion of the keyword. That's what we put in when we're, you know, filling in the Yoast meta box, and you're getting your little green light and all that. You're like, yay, I did it. But the truth is, for every keyword that we're looking at, there's a whole bunch of secondary keyword phrases that are also important and may be doing better. And so if you don't even have those secondary phrases in your product page description, you're doing yourself a disservice, right? So a lot of times it's digging in and figuring out, okay, so again, if you were looking at noise canceling headphones, and then you might say, oh, there's another ancillary phrase here, which is over the ear headphones, right? People are talking about over the ear headphones, over the ear. So you're like, okay, I have to put, and you may have written these Sony 1000, you know, X M3s are fantastic, and you never said over the ear. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, sometimes it's just because store owners are too close to their content, right?
Yeah.
They're so close that they forget that, oh, other people are going to be looking for specifically over the ear.
Right.
Or you may forget to write Bluetooth, right? And you're like, oh, I got to go. So it's about going back and looking at those keywords, look at the secondary phrases, and making sure that those phrases are in your content.
Okay, great. So it sounds like a big part of the job is finding these key phrases that people are searching for.
You mentioned making sure that you have the focus keyword in your title, right? So in your product name or your page title, making sure that focus keyword and the secondary ones are showing up in the first paragraph or second paragraph of your copy of your product description, making sure that your alt text on all the images are correct, right? So someone sent you images, and those images, because your photographer took them, are KW16583.jpg. And you're like, no, I'm not going to upload these onto the site directly. I'm going to change the names so that when they get loaded in and then they get titled, right, that they're titled effectively, right? So there's so many little things. And this is the stuff that as a store builder, you can help with, right? You can say, oh, hey, I know you're going to send me a bunch of these images, but before you do, I want you to make sure you change the titling on those to be as explicit as what they, you know, of what they are, right? Right. And all that, all that we've been talking about so far is still on page SEO, right? Meaning the stuff we totally control because it's our specific page and site. But the truth is, off page SEO, right? The backlinks are equally as important, right?
Okay.
You're going to get to a point where you say, hey, people are talking about our products or our pages. What's the link that they're using to come back to us, right? What's the anchor text of that? What's the text of it? What's the URL? Where are they coming into? Like, which page are they landing at? There's a whole lot of link building strategies and off-page SEO that's just as important,
right?
Because you want to make sure that when people are you know, looking around, Google says, oh, wait, this page is important because we have a lot of backlinks to it. People have clicked it and liked it. Let me make sure you see it too.
Okay. Right? Okay. So you're linking from your page to other pages where people are talking about your product?
Yeah, but you're really going after other people to link back to you, right?
Okay.
And gotcha. Some people, the crazy thing is some people talk about your product and they just never link. Right? So someone says, hey, the hats that Chris Lemma wears, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, hey, I noticed that you referenced this, but you didn't take Chris Lemma and turn it into a link back to my site. In fact, I have a page at my site that is all about my hats. So I, you know, here's a link. Would you be willing to, you know, most of these people already wrote about you. They already referenced you. They just didn't have the link. They didn't know what's right. And so if you give it to them and say, hey, by the way, if you could, you know, I saw that you mentioned this. Could you help me out with this link this way? Many people say, sure, right? Mm-hmm. But then you get those backlinks coming in.
Okay. Wow. So there's a benefit to Googling yourself. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
And in the case of a store owner, right? Googling your products, especially if you have a product that is interesting or unique, part of your job, right? Part of whoever you may hire, you may have I know we're going to talk about virtual assistants in another episode, but if you had a VA, getting that VA to look around the web all the time for where people are referencing your products and then following up with an email that says, hi, I saw that you did this on this page. I would love it if you link back to this URL with this text and give us the credit for that. And most people go, oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
And from an SEO perspective, those backlinks become important.
Okay, great. So you've mentioned Google Search Console. I was wondering if you could explain just real quickly how that works and how you can use that as a tool.
Sure. So now, just to be clear, right, I am not a Google Console expert.
Okay.
I work with a variety of companies that are, though, right? I recommend them. So Webshine, for example, out of Colorado, is a team that I often recommend, right? Who they have an agency that does the work, and then they have another product that specifically allows you to do the work yourself, but with their guidance, called Pathfinder SEO. Mm-hmm. And so, whether you want full service or you want self service, Webshine or Pathfinder SEO are the folks that I often recommend.
Okay.
That said, right, from what I have learned from them, Google Console is one of those things where you go, okay, what I have to do really is I have to teach Google about my site, especially if I'm building a brand new store. I have to go to Google and I have to go to the Search Console and I have to say, here's my sitemap. Here's all the pages on my site. I have to, watch how it crawls it and see if there are errors and navigate through all that, right? There's a whole lot of that process that I get to do once I know that, hey, my URL or my site is on Google and Google recognizes it and knows it. And now here's what Google knows about it, right? And as soon as I start digging into that is when I can start going, okay, here are the things that are anomalies or here are the things that are weird that I got to dig into or here, here's what I have to do. So
right.
The trick, right, is to go get everything configured. So what happens is you go in to console and you say, okay, I want to register a domain. Once you do it, right, you go to add a property. It's search property, add a property. And then when you add the property, you want to make sure that you include all versions of it, right? So if you have the www or if you have just the straight URL, getting that in there, you're going to want to articulate how do you want the preferred domain to look, right? So do it with the www or without. You're going to define how you want your site to be crawled. Again, sometimes for a high traffic e-commerce site, you might want to do that more slowly because you don't want all the bots hitting you. And you're going to add, again, in the case of if a store owner is doing it, you're going to want to add your developer, your store builder, as a user to this so they can get in there and look at it, right? So you can, Google Search Console allows you to add users to it. You're going to connect the site to your Google Analytics, right? Even though those are two, different sites or properties that Google owns together, right? You're going to want to make the connection between, hey, I want to make sure that my Search Console, my analytics are linked so I can pull that up and I want to give it a sitemap, right? Which again, if you're using Yoast, right, they'll give you one, other tools give you one as well. And once you've done that, right, you've put your versions of the site, you've added the permissions, you've added your developer, you've find the preferred domain, you've connected it to Google Analytics, and you've submitted a sitemap, then Google takes over, right? Then Google starts searching it, indexing it, running through it, crawling it, figuring out what errors are there or not. And that's where you go, okay, now I can log into Google Search Console, pick the domain that I care about and start looking at everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it gives you a world of information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Chris, I think that's all the time we have for. That was really helpful. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Take care.
Thanks. All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to optimize your web pages for search engine activity. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.